views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome to Sando Radio Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is, man, hold on, how did I messed up? Welcome everyone to Sando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And it is our pleasure to come to you live on air today. It is January the 2nd, 2019. Happy New Year to you all. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we will definitely, we'll see you there. And before we get going into today's show, but let's do that. Let's take care of some of the administrative obligations first and foremost. Everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. Without your overall support of you giving donations to this network, it will not be here in the future. If you do not feed the roots, there will be no fruit that you will be able to partake in. So let's please support this network. And you can very easily do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give a financial or monetary donation to the network so that it can stay on air, so that it can continue to bring you the necessary fruit that's going to sustain you through the future and going forward in eternity. So very, very important. Also, you can support the network by being a member of the social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a holistic grassroots social media network that has been put together by Black Talk Radio Network, so you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. It won't sell your identity, and you won't be as, the data mining that's there will not be as problematic for us all as the other mainstream ones, such as Facebook, you call Facebook. So very important that platform was put together for a reason, and that reason was beyond its overall addictive qualities of entertaining of gossip. That was the hook. But when you get reeled in and taken out and put into the overall bin for consumption, to be consumed, to be eaten, is the reason. Is because the hook is the trick. So make sure you go over to BTR Community, and for only $24 a year, you can engage in your social media activities without being as adversely affected. Okay, definitely do that. Also, if you would like, and you're going to need to do this in 2019, 2018 is probably the last year that you have been able to engage in probably a whole 12-month cycle where you can actually engage in acquiring real money, exchanging your currency for real money, and have a measure of savings. I anticipate some very, very, very draconian measures happening in 2019. So go to Prosperity Mint, check out what's in inventory, then email, because you're a Tando Radio Show listener, email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com. Say, hey, Dave sent me, and someone will get in contact with you to explain to you the buying process only, will not be used for a sale call, will not be sold to anything else. If you do not respond to that, they are not going to respond to you. It is in your best interest that you find out so that you can acquire the precious metals correctly. There is a right and a wrong way to acquire the precious metals and explain to you the overall buying process. Very, very important. So with that being said, before we get into the news, man, 2018 was a very, very exhausting year for me. And it extended, my brother passed in the beginning of the year. And there were other, my first cousin passed. And there were many people that passed. My neighbor, my next door neighbor passed. And just there were so many people that made the great transformation, which I understand is so critical and so part of this evolutionary eternity that we're in, and it's a beautiful process. But it was difficult for me because of the strong and the constant influence that all of these individuals had, talking about my brother who raised me and just has always been a beacon of my joy. And my uncle, who was nearly as influential to me as my brother, only because my brother was my brother, you know. My uncle is like the greatest uncle that you can ever have. And so this year was extremely, extremely trying emotionally. And I knew that it was going to be, and I remember on the 31st, I said, I hope this year just ends without any more. Well, it didn't. My aunt passed on New Year's Eve, and I can actually feel it. And I know that this is extremely trying for my mother at this time. And I just want to give some encouragement to us all, and to myself, and to my mom, and to my sister, and all of my siblings, my sisters and my brother. And to you, because we're all going to go through these type of things, and it just so happens that our family was just bombarded with so much of it this past year. But I'm encouraged that life never ends. There is no such thing as death. It's just that energy, once energy is created, it can never be extinguished. And the misery of physical death may be ours, but the promise of peace is eternal. And prosperity. And I just want to say to all of my family members and my friends that passed this year that made that great transformation to resonate in prosperity. I don't say rest in peace, because they're not resting, they're resonating. And just, I'm glad that 2018 was a part of my life to actually strengthen and to get me to appreciate. And 2018 was very, very productive, but it was very sombering for me. And it had me go through a bunch of different emotions that I thought that I was immune to. And I think it was very necessary, because it's a part of truth. And now, because of that, I appreciate, because, you know, before in my life, I really couldn't identify with having a sibling to make the great transformation. I've had some very influential people that I love dearly that have done that. But there were probably in my life some of the most significant transformation has been my surrogate mother and my brother making that transformation. My life was totally changed after that. And I would say mine is now, but it's in that change. There's also a benefit. There's also a joy, and there's also an appreciation, and there's also an interest that returns a profit. And I'm not talking about a monetary profit. I'm talking about an interest of investing in someone, and then that investment returns prosperity. And so I just want to say to my family, who is, my family is quite unique. And I would say that we were built for everything, and we take on everything on our feet. And we will continue to do this, as we are going to have to come to grips with this and to deal with this again, but now we have to deal with it in a different way. The shock is gone. No longer can we be shocked, and I can say that wholeheartedly, because of this has really prepared me for what I know will be coming. And I accept it, and I want to accept it in a very benevolent way. I want it to make me better. And I'm committed to that, because I don't believe just in that. I act off of that. So I just wanted to start today's show with that. And I would ask that you send your energy to each and everyone in your family that you love, because they deserve it. And with that, we're going to jump into what's in the news. We have here in studio Pastor Keith. And Pastor Keith laid out a great sermon on Sunday that really helped me to prepare for what has already transpired in the year and then what's going to be coming in the future. Pastor, I didn't get to say this to you, but I was worried that maybe you wouldn't get in the glory from your own sermon. But now I'm comforted to know that you'll probably just make it in. I thought I was going to be lonely up there.
All by myself.
I didn't see a way. And I just want to say, Pastor really laid a very relevant sermon. And the genesis of the sermon was that it's not just enough to work off of someone else's promise. What it really entails off of is your works, your daily works, even though you don't want to, which you should do. And you really put it in perspective, Keith, that just saying something means nothing. Saying nothing and doing something means everything. But when you can say and do, that's really being taken the position of an ambassador of the great creator that everyone should emulate. And that sermon that you gave really let me know that we're going to have to endure, but how we endure is very telling. And so I want to just thank you for Sunday's sermon. And what you mean to us, my family, my immediate family, and you're definitely a part of that. So with that being said, we're going to jump into what's in the news, and we have a great show for you today. And I would say very important show. One thing the pastor said earlier is, When you speak about different things that are happening, it's very important to bring the truth no matter what, and how relevant the truth is always. Because even within the truth, there's always a promise that is always solid and fundamentally sound. But can we meet that promise with the overall necessary obligation to have that promise be beneficial to us? And so we always need to bring the truth. In the measure of truth, regardless of how it feels, what it looks like, or whatever it is, there should be always be comfort in the truth. And I take comfort in the truth. So today's show is going to be very, very very, very, very important in my overall eyes. I think we're going to do a 96-hour margin call again. Pastor, you will never hear for a 96-hour margin call. We just do a sit-sim of events that we would think to happen. It's a fictional representation of scenarios that could possibly happen. And I do that, and it's difficult to do. And I'm going to say for me, it was difficult to do, but you make it easier because I was always concerned, do I really say what I think? And now I'm not bound by that anymore. It doesn't mean that I'm right, but I know that I have to release it. I have to release it. And there's a smita that I think is very, very important. And the smita means to release. And you want to release every 7 years so that you would have the benefit of the smita, commonly referred to in the Torah in the Old Testament as one of the practice and principles of living, known as the smita. And I realized that I need the release. And we will definitely do that. So today's show is going to be crazy, crazy, crazy. We're going to jump into what's in the news and we'll get into it today, the actual first day that we've been on in 2019. Hopefully you all had a great beginning of the new year, and I definitely extend my wholehearted benefits and energy to you all that will be in a way that will be prosperous, that you can see it forward as a good investment. So let's get into today's show. Today's show is on January the 2nd of 2019. You know, the battlefield, Keith, of the future is going to shock people because there's a different battlefield. And it is going to be a battlefield like no other battlefield, and is actually fighting out now. And today's neurotech battlefield tactics are going to be shocking for all as the lights go out. And we've heard about the lights going out, but I don't really think that we've represented what that really could look like. And I'm going to try to do my best in that after we get out of what's in the news. And I think that you're going to be really relevant in this. And I say because of a lot of things that what's in the news is relevant to that. So the first article we got from what's in the news, this comes from express.co.uk. Chinese admiral warns Beijing could sink two U.S. aircraft carriers in chilling World War III threat. Because this is definitely going to happen at some point in some time. The overall flashpoint of the South Sea of China, the Ukraine, Syria, the Middle East, Djibouti, Venezuela, Europe, they're all the flashpoints, but the significant flashpoints are going to be the South Sea of China, the Korean Peninsula, the Arctic, the Bering Strait in Alaska, the Ukraine, of course. Eastern Europe is one of the most highly that is the flashpoint that is very significant, and of course the Middle East, particularly Syria, Iran, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, all of that. It's all going to continue to develop into a full implosion.
And that's right in line
with the EMP. Yep. So Chief just showed me an article about the U.S. Air Force confirming their expansion in EMP weapons, electronically magnetic pulse weapons, and they're so destructive. So check out that article. Next article, from Strategic Culture, the West is in disarray and will only get worse. Yes, that's very, very important. I mean, true. Next article from RT International, Russia Today International. Top five countries opting to ditch the U.S. dollar and the reasons behind their moves. So significant countries that are there. We'll cover this on Financial Friday.
Can you just read what the countries are?
Yes, I can read just what the countries are. It says, here we go. Top five countries opting out to ditching U.S. dollar and the reasons behind their moves. The past year was full of events that inevitably split the global geopolitical space into two camps. Those who still support using U.S. currency and as a universal tool, and those who are turning their backs on the greenback. And I would just say this, you better be in the camp that's turning their back on it, because if you don't, that is going to wage a very, very difficult burden that you will not be able to relieve yourself of. That momentum is going to be unmoving. It's going to be unmoving, that overall momentum and that burden that's going to go along with it. So here are, let me just pull up this article really quickly for Keith on that. And I closed that link. I think it's right here. There we go. No, that's not it. Let me just pull it up. I'll pull it up from here. One second. Give me a second here. And then I'll pull up that actual article. So, and I think it is important that we give the those actual countries. So here we go. And then we'll touch on this in depth. I won't read the reasons why. I'll just give the countries. Here are the countries. Number one, China. Number two, India. That's a backbreaker right there. The number one economy itself, meaning that every country that's going to do business with China, and that's why they're the number one economy in the world. They say that they're number two. No, they're number one now. That means that anyone is doing business with them that made them number one is going to have to switch too. So that camp of moving is going to be huge. The second one is the complete back. It's sealed. India. Number three, Turkey. Number four, Iran. Another backbreaking one. Number five, Russia. So just from that, you have from the BRIC nations, three of the most important nations in the BRIC nations that are there. You got Russia, you got China, India, and Russia. That in itself is the global economy now. The global economy now. So, and Iran, being in there really seals it as well. So we'll get into that on Financial Friday, Great Creator Willing. Okay, so here we go. Next article, South China Morning Post. The celebrity figure president of China. Jinping urges Taiwan to follow Hong Kong's model for unification. They're putting the gauntlet down. He urges Taiwan to follow Hong Kong's model for unification. Here it comes. Next article. From Sputnik News, hackers threaten to leak 9/11 files that will top Snowden's finest work. So check out that article. They're basically saying there's some hackers that have said got files on 9/11. They said they're going to release them if they are not paid a ransom of Bitcoin.
With that being said, but I went to the movie yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was I saw that movie Vice,
mm-hmm.
which is about Dick Cheney, and I think that movie touches on some of the stuff you talk about, man.
Yeah,
but that's a good movie. I said that's a good movie, and it tells you about some of the stuff you already know. But you know, it shows you an insight about how dastardly Cheney was, and the harm or the catastrophic things he brought about as far as this nation goes. So if you have an opportunity to see that, I would suggest you do. It's enlightening.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So Keith gives a recommendation on seeing Vice. So, and I know particularly that means a lot to you, because I know by you being a Republican and I know that you appreciate it. But yeah, I think it's good, and they're celebritizing different things. You know, you really think about it. How sick was it for the Nazis to be able to take over the media and celebritize their overall engagements? Huh. They really didn't even do it as bad. Just think about that with the U.S., the overall manifest destiny that the U.S. is under, they are doing just that. They are far, far more of a threat than the Nazis ever were. And they celebrate it by actually glorifying it and celebritizing it.
Dave, I don't have too many complaints about you, but you oftentimes don't seem to get what I send you oftentimes. But I sent an article recently.
Because you never sent it to me. Don't say where you sent it, because there's certain things we don't talk about on air. Yeah.
But what this article talked about was it talked about a lot of the stuff that is hidden. And some of the things that they were saying was with the Nazis and how this country actually went over there and got so many of them. We already know that.
Operation Paperclip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it talked about how because of that, how these people were so protected in our societies. As a matter of fact, they were uplifted all these things. So, yeah, you know, back to the stuff that we talked about, how things are covered up and how you have this disgust for Nazis and Nazism and all that. No, yeah. The powers that be did a whole lot with those Nazis, and they were very much involved with them, very much involved with them.
Let me tell you something, Keon. I'm glad you said it, and we're going to get back to the show, but let me just give you my insight. I don't see how anyone could ever be disgusted when you really look at the overall Third Reich of Nazi Germany and everything that they represented. How could you be disgusted with them and acceptance of what's done here? It's far, far worse. Every time you look at a major sporting event or a major publicized event, what do you see? And the indoctrination is so deep within our overall, we're so indoctrinated to it all, we don't even see it, the truth right before us. You know, when you think about the Nazis, you think about them making their salute and everything else. You see them making their salute with their hands erected and everything else, right? And you say, wow, how evil that is. Well, watch a sporting event. When they sing the national anthem and everything else, how do you not see that this is far worse than that? It's no different than the Nazis. And I'm going to tell you why, Keith. And here's why. And everybody will say, Dave, what are you talking about? That's just no. Because when the Nazis did it, when they erected their hand and everything else, and Hail Hitler and all this other stuff, you saw that as being repugnant. But how can you not see saying that the singing of the national anthem, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, standing before a flag, an idol worship, and you partaking in that? Because when you do that, you are partaking in the overall true nature of what that overall person of that symbolism is doing around the world and doing here. They're political serial killers, and you are glorifying and pledging allegiance to them, and you don't even realize that that's idol worship that is actually affecting you.
Absolutely.
Is no different, and it's far, far worse. I remember, Keith, I'm watching a NASCAR. I was watching a race, and everybody stopped as they sing the Pledge of Allegiance of these nations and everything else. And I say to myself, how captive people really are, because they'll say, well, they'll give an excuse, and their excuse will say, well, no, I'm just because I love my country and this, all this other stuff, right? But you're not aware of what is really being done behind that, and what's being done behind that, what's the really drive. You're giving your energy to that, and that is being momentumized into human destruction around this world. You're no different than the Nazis. In fact, you're far worse, because you're stupid to the fact.
You know, and it's kind of the things that you're talking about, they're brought out in this movie that I just got done suggesting. And Vice, those very things are put out and how they did it. And the amazing thing is, Dave, something that, and I won't get into this too much, right? But it's amazing how fast your mind will change to things. I think I gave the story about how they would take the newbies to the massive grave site and kicking their heads within 3 days. Mm-hmm. Well, I got a personal story. I was in the Marine Corps, and I was in aviation training, and if I tell you they change your mindset in 10 weeks, it's unbelievable the way they do it. But, you know, they do it for a purpose, they do it for a reason, et cetera, et cetera. But my personal story was after I got my commission, we were still in training. Now, me, I'm not a country boy per se. I've never liked snakes. But let me tell you something. We were young aviators. Boy, if I tell you we had the big hit, you know, when we got a uniform, you couldn't tell us nothing, right? But we were getting ready to go out on training. And our training, you had to learn how to survive off land. I've never liked snakes.
Right.
So when I got up there, if I tell you I was straight up and down with my back straight walking, you know, cognizant of snakes, because I sure didn't want no snake coming up on me. I tell you what, if you're not given food in 3 days, within 3 days, Dave,
you act different.
I'm on my hands and knees. I wish the snake would come out. Yeah. Let him come out if he wanted to. It changes. And so, you know, it goes back to two things. Never say never.
Right.
Because you have no clue as to how much you would change.
Because you're not in that position.
Situation.
Exactly. Because you're not in that situation right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Never
and
say
the
never.
The other thing is, it's mind-blowing what you listen to and what you watch. How fast it will change you without you even being aware of it.
So true, Keith. So true. And well said. And it really caps what I was the what I was trying to project, and that is so true. Scotty said he has a question for you. Go ahead, Scotty. We can hear you.
Hey, greetings to you and Pastor Keith. Again, looking forward to another year of providing the listeners with useful information and a platform to discuss these issues. I would agree with Pastor Keith to a certain extent. I was just writing about this on Twitter on our Black Talk Radio account, but I was just talking about the herd mentality and how there are efforts to cultivate a herd mentality. For example, this guy who is often in the mainstream media, I don't know what his mama named him, but he seems to be following after Prince and just having one name. You know, Toure. Y'all might have seen him on MSNBC or CNN or writing for a major news publication. But this is what he says. If you're black and feeling the need to show off your independence from other black people, you should probably stop and examine why you need to be seen as not like other black people. Now, that's a very general and vague statement. It also presumes that there is a herd mentality. Now, I'm not agreeing with this. It's saying that we should all have a herd mentality, and whatever the mainstream media dictates, whatever trend, whatever they tell us we should be doing, then we should do. And like we are all, you know, thinking alike, don't have different experiences, different opinions. I mean, that's demonstrated on Black Talk Radio Network. The entire platform is I'm not in agreement with everything I hear. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what have you. But to what Pastor Keith was saying, Pastor Keith, I would say that's true of a majority of a people, even if that majority is 51%. Because, you know, when I went in the Air Force and went through whatever course that was 10 weeks long, how they train, I would say that, you know, that is the case with weak-minded people who go into these institutions and they don't have no firm foundation of liberation or justice or, you know what I'm saying, that was instilled in them by their parents. And that's how they're changed very easily. You know, when I went into the military, going in wasn't a problem, you know, because I come from a military family. Now, I wouldn't allow my children to go in the military because of what it actually does as opposed to what we're told they do. So even, you know, my mom was proud when I graduated from basic training and went in the military, had me take a picture with her in my uniform. That's how proud she was. But now we both understand that I was just one of them dogs of war, to maintain the injustice that we see throughout the world through the barrel of the U.S. military's guns. Okay, so, but when I went in the military, though, the opposite happened to me. My change in thinking of how I view the military and what the U.S. does was a change towards the end of my 6 years in there. I was in Saudi Arabia, walking down the street, trying to find my spiritual path. Not that I didn't already have one, that I was grounded, but now I'm a young adult and I'm asking questions of myself in terms of what is the right spiritual path. And so I'm leaning towards Islam because I'm reading Malcolm X biography, you know what I'm saying? Where he's, you know, really exposing what the United States does and how it operates. And I could see how it was true today and in the conflict that I found myself in the middle of. But, you know, I didn't become a Muslim. Because, you know, I answered the questions about the spiritual path that I was going to be on, but I then also understood I had to get out the U.S. military because I was a party to, I was an accomplice in the killing of almost a million people just off of what I saw just from the bombing data. Now, you know, and you know, documentaries been put out to show the tremendous loss of life. So, some people, they take the opposite view. A lot of them Panthers, the opposite path. It has an opposite effect on them. You know, a lot of the Black Panther Party and later even the more militant wings of Black Liberation Movement, like the, what's the name of them? Assata Shakur was like, you know, the leader of that group. Many of them are in prison right now. I can't think of the name, but they're more militant, you know what I'm saying, and use military tactics. What's that?
Move.
No, Move. Not Move. That was just a Philadelphia-based group. The Black Liberation Army, BLA. BLA. BLA, Black BLA. Liberation Army. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They came about because of the FBI and the war on the Black Panthers, who were just a political and social organization providing services and giving political education and feeding people and all of that. And so with the assassination of them, that's what created the Black Liberation Army. Many of them had served in Vietnam. So I didn't mean to take so long, but I would just, you know, it works on some people that don't go with, who become adults in appearance or a role model or, you know, a person hasn't given them a foundation to work from. You know what I'm saying? Then when they get to adult age, when they start really thinking for themselves, they're not really going to ask questions and they just going to go along with the programming. Thank you.
Yes, Daddy, it's so true, because, you know, that's why in the military they want to take the young so early, because it's easy to have an impressionable thing. And yeah, you know, Keith, is like you said, it's powerful. And like Scotty was saying, because they're so young, the influence that's there.
Yeah, like not said, just them being young, though, Dave, but then let's just put it this way, us not raising our children with the proper values.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it all, because, and I say that becomes the significant part for those individuals that it has the opposite effect on, and that would be pretty much everyone that I know, because, you know, like Keith and you and myself, we have a realistic view of what's going on there. And we're like, nah, I'm not a part of it. I won't be a part of it. So because of your upbringing, that was the foundation of the decisions of what you have. And then for individuals that don't have that upbringing, and because they're so immature and very impressionable and easily to be persuaded a certain way, the tricks the indoctrination becomes fundamentally sound for them. So yeah, I definitely so true. So well, here we go. We're gonna get back into what's the news and get in today's show. Real important. Next one. China president says Taiwan's independence could be a disaster, meaning that China is not gonna allow in any form of independence by Taiwan. It's over and done with. Forget about it. This is war talk that is definitely going to spark for real. Next article from Spike Online, Russia mania takes over the world. Basically, they were saying in 2018, one of the great accomplishments was Russia actually conquered the world. And I would agree. Next article from Russia Insider, Trump slows Syria pullout. Pentagon gives 4 months to withdraw. And I'm going to just say this. They're not going to pull anybody out of Syria. I think what happens is that they have just talking points and everything else. But what really goes on behind closed doors is what you said, Keith, in your sermon. Just confessing something doesn't mean that you are. Your actions are actually substantiate and validate what you say. And so they're saying one thing, they're talking out the side of their neck, saying one thing, but they plan on doing something totally, totally different. It ain't going to happen. So check that out. Next article. This is from Counterpunch. Have the Russians' military aircraft in Venezuela breached the door to America's backyard? Absolutely. Has the Russian military aircraft in Venezuela breached the door to America's backyard? Yes, because Venezuela is where America wanted to run into in their backyard to take resources for this war, and that's oil.
And the other thing is, everything at this point has breached the back door.
Yes.
Because we've talked about this in the past before.
Back side and front door.
Absolutely. Yes. Whereas we had a protected fortress at one time.
Who's we?
United States had protected fortress with their.
When you say we, that means you know.
No.
You too. Okay. There we go.
All those are gone.
All gone.
Those are gone. Because they have access. They can penetrate wherever they want to penetrate at this point in time. And we can't stop it.
Yep. So true. So check that out. Next article from South China Morning Post. Prepare for war. China's military is told at the start of the new year. And this is not, they've been saying this and saying this because, you know, it's very important. See, in today's world, we say show, we live by it, show me, you know, because that is a position of disadvantage. That's a position of real arrogance as well. How things work in an asymmetrical way is how we're constantly defeated. Is that if don't you know, if you're going to win on something, don't show your hand. Keep it hidden. Keep it hidden, because a hidden hand can garnish so much territory and gain so much ground, so that when you do show it, your arrogant adversary says, yeah, you don't have nothing, and guess what? You have their throat. So this is very, very true. It's definitely going to happen. Next article from Sputnik News. China may use force to counter foreign meddling in Taiwan. Who do you think they're going to use that force against in the meddling of Taiwan? The U.S. military and the corporation of the United States. Very true. This is from UN. This is a Ukrainian publication. Russia plotting chemical attack in Donbas. Ukrainian intelligence. That means they're going to use it. And this whole thing, the Ukraine is, and I'm going to just say this from the Ukraine. The Ukraine also, I saw over the weekend where they actually are not acknowledging Crimea as being Russian, and so they're going to be sailing their overall military vessels into Crimea because they consider Crimea the Ukraine. That's a war, folks. That's a war. So what happened the last time, so it's going to be bad. Next, from South China Morning Post, U.S. and China on a path to disaster, says economist who defended the Huawei. Next article, and that was from this economist is Satch, and he's saying, "Hey, y'all better stop this because this is way out of hand, and it really is, and it's he knows from an economic standpoint because he sees what it's doing and where it's going. It's unstoppable."
Who is he?
This economist.
Okay.
A well-known, highly rated economist, global economist. Next article from RT International. Russia's $75 trillion in resources is why sanctions are impossible. I want to say thanks to my man Carlos for sending me that. That's so true. Got that one from RT Russia Today. Russia's $75 trillion in resources is why sanctions is impossible. And it's why they rule the world now. Resources.
I think one of the main things that stuck with me that you said that I wasn't aware of as much, but they're debt free.
Yep. Yep. They have no debt. They have no national debt. So very, very important. That means, Keith, let me explain to you what that means, everyone. When they say Russia has no debt, that means this. They control resources. They are not a subjugant to the economy. They tell the economy what to do. The economy works for them. They don't work for the economy.
Dave,
those that are paid a debt wage is a subjugant to the economy. You work for the economy. The economy works for those that control resources. Yes, go ahead, Scotty.
Could it also be the BRICS nation getting their financial replacement system operational?
Yes,
could that play into it,
yes,
too,
it.
As well? And I've also read some articles where, you know, people talking about nations talking about, well, I should say, the officials of nations are saying they're going to use cryptocurrency to bypass U.S. sanctions. So you got the BRICS nation. What was the name of that system or that you've talked about it before, Dave? The financial system, they were setting it up, people in Africa or
yes.
nations in Africa participating, China, Russia.
AIIB.
Huh?
AIIB.
Okay.
Yes.
So that could be, you know, up and running and facilitating this. But listen,
yes.
I wanted to add another article.
I just
pulled it up. I'm gonna post it in the chat room for you. And
okay,
I haven't seen it on show up in mainstream press yet, but
I got it, Scotty.
It's talking about Vladimir Putin to reopen Soviet military bases in Cuba, sparking Cold War II fears. Now, you know, don't let the headline make you think they about to put Russian nuclear bombers in Cuba. All it is going to be is some intelligence, an intelligence unit. They're going to spying and picking up radio communications coming out of the United States. Now, so I expect them to start threatening Cuba and, you know, saying, see, this is why we need to keep the economic embargo in place that's been in place since 1959 and all that. Now, on the other side, I was like, now, Cuba, which has been trying to normalize relationships starting with the Obama administration. When I say normalize, I don't mean, you know, where they are compromising some certain things in order to lift those crippling sanctions, which shows the strength of those people because they've been able to survive for so long. But why would they allow the Soviets now to bring in intelligence? And, you know, it's probably going to be some economic aid tied to that. And we'll have, but why would they do it though? I would say because of Trump and his rhetoric towards Cuba and the right wing, and not just Trump, but the neoliberals who want to continue this. So, you know, it's so many variables to consider, but I'm not worried about no Russians in Cuba. You know, I'm not worried about it. I mean, the United States, if they want to criticize, which, you know, the talking heads will, well, you got troops and arming troops in different countries and using proxies, and you're right. That's what the whole Ukraine is about. You're right at Russia's door, right on their border. So just something to think about.
Yeah, you know, two things, Scotty, you said with the
About BRICS. Yes, what happens is that the BRIC nations, if you look at the BRIC nations, all of them, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and Germany and France is going to join. Turkey wants to join. Mexico wants to join. That's a significant thing, Mexico joining BRICS. They're all nations that have money, not currency. They all have resources. And so they realize that we're going from a debt-based economy, which the U.S. has all of the debt and creates all of the debt, while they have all of the resources. They're going to turn – resources can always, always nullify debt. So they're going to take the resource bases that they have, because that's real money, has intrinsic value. And so that's how they're going to expand their overall agenda. And guess who's going to be excluded in that? The debt wagers. So the debt wages are going to be exploited. So that is very, very significant there. And so, yes, Scotty, it has everything to do with the BRIC nations, with the AIIB, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Banking, that's going to be going on around the world. They're going to be in, they're going to be sharing their resources and everything else, and everything is going to be based off a resource. Meaning this, you can't give someone a bounce check and get something of value. The person with the bounce check has debt. The person with the overall instrument of value has money. So very, very important. And then, you know, with Cuba, with this, yes, that there's going to be a, that Cuba is going to be a main hub for gathering intelligence. Russia has been sending their overall intelligence vessels down there for the past 7 years. Huge ones, and that's where they're porting there and everything else, and they're going to expand that. Yep, Scotty, absolutely right. Great article. Great, great article. Okay, let me make sure I got, you see, in the last article, the Ukraine submits documents on human rights violations in Russia's annexing Crimea. They're going to make the push, and that's going to be a push into war, and I expect that to do just that. So that's what's in the news. If you'd like to get in on a conversation at any time, give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you all. And we're getting ready to go into a commercial break. When we come out, we're going to get into today's show. Scotty, give me 2 minutes, 3 minutes, actually, to get ready, and then we'll get going. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro. Not the case in places like Libya and many of the Gulf states. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold.
The United States should welcome the self-determination of Africans. They certainly have denied self-determination to Africans inside the United States, so we're not surprised by anything that the United States would do.
Ready, got it. If Gaddafi had an intent to try to reprice his oil or whatever else the country was selling in the global markets and accept something else as a currency or maybe launch a gold in our currency, any move such as that would certainly not be welcomed by the power elite today who are responsible for controlling the world's central banks. So yes, that would certainly be something that would cause his immediate dismissal and the need for other reasons to be brought forth for removing him from power.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcast and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And I just want to say, Scotty, that was smoke. Cynthia McKinney really did represent very, very well there, having a full understanding of what was going on with Gaddafi. Of course, she didn't know. And I just think that it was very, very critical, because that was a prelude of what's happening now and what's going to transpire there. And I think that that is going to be one of the last campaigns that the U.S. was able to have some measure of success, but that measure of success caused for them to be ultimately have the ultimate failure going forward. And, you know, as Clinton said, we came and we killed or whatever. Well, it's all over. Foundation of Clinton and the overall U.S. Hegemony that goes along with it. And it's not just one party, one individual, it's all synonymous in this whole subjugation in the massive global corruption against the general population and the people of this planet and the living entities on this planet. So well done, Scotty. So we're going to jump into today's show. And today's show, we've done this before. I'm going to do another 96-hour margin call, because that margin call is coming up real quickly and I want you to be prepared. But today's battlefield is a new battlefield that is very, very deadly and dangerous. It's going to cause for a lot of displacement and pain for people. We've chronicalized this. We've talked about this in because of the overall weaponry. And today's weaponry, you know, you don't need to have a nuclear bomb actually hit the ground. You can take a nuclear device and take it in the upper atmosphere and explode it. And what will happen is that it will cause a electronic magnetic pulse that will actually nullify all of the circuitry beneath it, all of the non-protected circuitry beneath it, and to cause a power outage or a surge that overall equipment will be destroyed and it would have to be replaced. And there's also, with that, that is some of the extremely powerful capabilities of weaponizing nuclear capability. If you really look at it, is that when you look at nuclear weaponry, you're looking at the worst things that the sun can do to you. Because the sun can actually, through a CME, a coronal mass ejection, can take out your whole power. It was done in the 1800s and was known as the Clarington event, where lines actually were catching on fire, going all over the place, and it knocked out the power, known as the Clarington events from a CME. So what did they do? They realized that. So if you think about it, it shows the power of money. It can nullify you. And so if you think about it, a nuclear reaction is actually nothing more than man-made imitation of a solar flare. That's what the Oppenheimers and the overall the Germans were able to do. And they were able to do all of that. You know why, Keith? One element, once they were able to have an element in their physical possession.
Silver.
That's the power of silver. And so without silver, they wouldn't be able to do it. And so they weaponized silver. And I'm going to tell you, it's one of the things you don't want to weaponize.
You don't want
to. You do not want to weaponize it because it's just too darn powerful. So, very, very important. So, and we've talked about how today's battlefield is not done on with tanks, aircraft carriers, troops moving across, gaining ground, artillery. I mean, that's a part of it, but that's not today's battlefield. Today's battlefield is done from a keyboard, and is done from using cyber attacks and attacking infrastructure. You attack infrastructure, and it causes people to be completely, completely nullified. And the more advanced your so-called society is, the more vulnerable you are to that. And so we really need to look at this, because the so-called U.S. has already lost the overall war that it was going to fall into against Russia and China combined and all of their allies, and they're going to nullify them on the overall cyber battlefield. And it's going to happen, and it's going to be disastrous in this approach. Now, does the U.S. have the same capabilities? Yes. But other countries have hardened their infrastructure. The U.S. hasn't hardened any of this infrastructure. Well, so it's like this, Keith. If you throw up, did you see Cyborg and Noonien's fight? Good, Keith. I'm glad you don't engage in stuff like that. Okay. There was just over the weekend a big fight
this weekend.
Yeah, last weekend in UFC. Cyborg and Noonien, Amanda Noonien and Cyborg. And Cyborg had
call
was just been
this call,
not
call
being,
recording off.
Being defeatable, right? She had never lost. And so what happened was, in this fight, she hurt Noonien real quickly. They both got in a blow, but she actually hurt Noonien, and a lot of people didn't see it. And then what happened was Noonien was able to duck it and came back with a counterpunch, and she floored Cyborg, and that was basically, and that's when the fight turned, and then she ultimately knocked Cyborg all the way out.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about a fight.
MMA?
Yes. That old barbaric fight, and I don't like that stuff, but I just happened to see this, you know.
I got you.
I just saw the clips of it and everything else. I'm just using it for a point. So here's the point. The U.S. is more like Cyborg, and the rest of the world is like Amanda. They're going to be able to take the punch. But when they punch, the U.S. will not be able to take the punch. And they're going to go down goes Frazier.
Yes.
And that's why I referenced that. And, but go ahead, Keith.
And that's going to happen in more than one area. Not only are they more advanced in that type of weaponry, right? But again, their populations can survive on the land.
The Russians particularly, without a doubt.
Almost all of them.
Yeah, Chinese as well in their providence.
Almost all of them.
Yeah, they definitely are. Because they can take the punch because they don't have the overall tied to technology the way that the U.S. does. And not only that, they've actually hardened their infrastructure to be able to withstand that punch. Oh, they're going to take the punch, but they're going to be strong enough to take it, flinch from it, but then have a counter to it,
right,
that the U.S. is just going to smiley and gladly say, yeah, until they get hit with it, and then the lights go out. Boom.
Yeah.
And they're going to look like Ronda Rousey when she got knocked out, turned her, and they kicked her in the face.
Oh my God!
Man. And then when Amanda knocked out Cyborg, if you look at that overall fight, Cyborg stunned Amanda, and if she was able to get another punch in, she would have knocked Amanda out. But what was Amanda able to do? Take that punch and then develop and deliver a counter to it. That was the whole thing here, and we're talking about this cyberspace. And that is the overall war of lights out. And I don't think we really know. We can say, yeah, the lights are going to go out. But do you really know what that means?
how dependent everyone here is to the overall grid, how dependent everyone is here to technology. Guess what? You don't eat without it. Most people. Now, there are some people, there are some exclusions where people have farms and everything else, and I highly suggest that you have means and methods to protect yourself. But the general population is going to get Ronda Rousey and Cyborg knocked out.
Well, again, and we talked about that in the study. What was it? It said 80% of the population.
In 6 months. Gone.
Keith, in 6 months.
Keith, I don't think that's true at all. I do not think that that's true at all. I say that it's going to be 83% in 2 months. In 2 months. You'll have a mortality rate of 83% in 2 months. One, let me tell you why. Why it's going to be so high and so quickly. Because people are going to lose it. People are absolutely going to lose it. Just take some millennial cell phone for 15, 20 minutes and see how they act. Now, some people are going to say, oh, cool, I don't need that, I'm glad. And then immediately what happens is that your reliance on it comes into play. How you going to cook? What food are you going to get? How are you going to get the food? Who are you going to have to fight to get the food? Who's going to want what you have? And what do you want that someone else has? This is going to be far, far. Those numbers are not anywhere nearly correct because you're talking about sewage going out. You're talking about human hygiene being nullified. And our immune systems are so weak because everybody's using this antibacterial soap, antibacterial gels, antibacterial this and that, and you're causing your overall immune system to be hamstrung and not being able to be strong enough to defend itself. You're causing your immune system to be weak. Now you're going to be susceptible to every bug. Because what you didn't do is we haven't been talking about strengthening our immune system. What they've been doing is take this gel as antibacterial. So what they're doing is they're saying that you kill a bacteria. No. Your body needs to be able to fight off bacteria and destroy bacteria on that battlefield. If it doesn't fight, keep. If you don't, you know, different skills are perishable. If you don't practice them, what happens? You lose them. If your body, your immune system isn't practicing and being able to fight off things in its natural way, what is it going to do? Lose its overall capability and strength to do it. And guess what happens when the grid goes down? Now you won't have no more antibacterial. And now just a little sneeze becomes pneumonia. And I'm painting this picture because it's the truth. And this is the truth we need to actually be aware of. Because if you're not aware of it, you can say one thing, but what is it that you're doing? And we want you to get prepared for this. Because if you are prepared for it, you'll be in a better position to be able to do with what is sovereign and self-determining to you, instead of you surrendering and giving it up to someone else, which is really going to happen. You know, Keith, you said something to me, and you say this in just this past year many times when I went through personal, when I was going through the mourning process with my family members. And you said, Dave, they're better off. And that's so true. Because of what they're not going to have to deal with coming forward. And it's so true. It's so, so true. So what I want to do is I want to give you a perspective, and I'm going to go to Cerebrally Naive Network. They did it's a YouTube video, and I know me saying it is not really as important as, you know, Cerebrally Naive Network saying it, you know, because we've so been indoctrinated. But I don't care. As long as you get the point, it doesn't have to come from me, Keith, or Scotty, or anybody that listens to this network. As long as you get what's going on, you better. because I'm going to play something for you. I'm going to put it in the chat room. And Scotty, if you would just play the first 8 minutes of it. And it's the admission of the U.S. military saying they're done. They're done. And they're done. There's this one general that actually retires, and guess what he's doing? He won't tell you this, but guess what he's doing, Keith? Preparing. So he's glad. I'm just glad it didn't happen today. But I know that since it didn't happen today, we're closer to it today than we were yesterday. So I'm gonna post this, Scotty, and if you would just play the first 8 minutes. I want you to hear this, because you need to hear this, and then we'll come back and I'll put it more into further perspective, and then we will do the 96-hour margin call. We covered a lot of this in the 96-hour margin call, but we need to play it all the way through. So I posted it there, Scotty, if you would just play the first 8 minutes of that.
Threats of a potential World War III.
I think it's an inevitability over time.
Unimaginable weapons.
So you could kidnap another satellite?
Essentially.
Designed to bring America to its knees.
Our satellites are at risk. And our ground infrastructure is at risk.
Stand by. Data building in Florida.
What can the U.S. possibly do to prevent this catastrophe?
This is a CubeSat.
To find out, we go inside and underground.
This is the global operation.
With rare access to the places and the people preparing for war in space. The next battlefield. As the sun sets and the nation goes to sleep, the battle for supremacy in space is about to begin. One final night before Americans wake up to a new and daunting reality. 10 a.m. New York, 7 a.m. Los Angeles. Cities normally buzzing with the morning rush suddenly stall. TV networks start to go dark. Internet connections run slow. ATMs begin to malfunction. There's confusion. No panic, not yet. As stealth cyber attacks are racing through the U.S. at the speed of light.
Then you have the question of, is it a cascading effect or not?
By noon in New York and 9 a.m. in Los Angeles, financial markets, dependent on exact timing provided by GPS, are frozen. Mobile phone services, already patchy, fail. Confusion gives way to growing fears this is much more than a simple cyber glitch. Many traffic lights and railroad signals, also timed by GPS, default to red, bringing transport to a standstill. Commercial air traffic is grounded as pilots lose navigation and weather data. Power stations and water treatment plants begin to stop functioning.
This feels like utter science fiction, and yet it's not.
Promoting track 1-2.
By now, Americans know the country is under some kind of attack.
This is Sivers. We're detecting a space launch on it.
And they look to the armed forces to spring into action.
Stand by. Data building is closed.
But the world's greatest military is struggling to respond. Military pilots and drones lose contact with the ground. GPS-guided smart bombs are rendered dumb. Warships lose contact with commanders. This is the nightmare scenario. Chaos on Earth as our adversaries launch a massive cyber attack on key infrastructure and disable and destroy our satellites in space. The first shots in the first space war.
Explosions in space that no one will hear.
Peter Singer wrote about this dire scenario in his book Ghost Fleet, and he now advises the Defense Department on just this type of threat.
You are now in World War III. So besides losing your ability to take out money from an ATM, your nation is in World War III.
This is not fantasy. This is the future, a future for which the U.S. is now urgently preparing.
If you say, is it inevitable, then the answer is probably yes.
General John Hyten, until recently the head of U.S. Space Command, has now been promoted to lead Strategic Command, charged with crucial missions ranging from commanding nuclear warfare to cyber warfare to war in space.
Anytime human beings have come to new territory and contested it, conflict has followed.
Human beings forever have wanted to explore what's beyond the hill, the horizon. And as we go out there, there's always been conflict. Conflict in the Wild West as we moved into the West. Conflict twice in Europe with horrible world wars. So every time humans actually physically move into that, there's conflict. And in that case, we'll have to be prepared for that.
This new contested territory, however, is mind-boggling. 73 trillion cubic miles.
The Space Surveillance Network has been transmitting observations.
And the early signs, by U.S. leaders' own admission, are disturbing for life as Americans know it. In 2015, the Pentagon expressed grave concern that America was not ready for war in space. It was proven right when, months later, U.S. Space Forces were overwhelmed in war games that targeted U.S. space assets.
It does get ugly in a hurry. If it goes kinetic, it gets ugly really bad.
Kinetic warfare, meaning that shots are fired in space, would cause permanent damage and destruction to the fragile satellites that control much of our life on Earth. Like a space-age Paul Revere, General William Shelton, Hyten's immediate predecessor at Space Command, has been sounding the alarm.
Did action, though, start quickly enough?
You're talking to a guy that was looking to really precipitate action, and I would say the answer was no. Could we provide active defense of our own satellites? The answer is no.
You could not today defend the satellite assets we have.
Certainly not on orbit. Mm. Clearly, there are things you can do on the ground, but space to space, no.
Perhaps worst of all, American adversaries know it, that the U.S. is not prepared, and that the U.S., more than any other nation, depends on space.
Our ability to be this sort of unique 21st century kind of power depends on space being a sanctuary for us. But also it means there's incentives to take that away from us.
Who are those adversaries? They will sound familiar from standoffs down here on Earth. Russia and China.
We have very good surveillance and intelligence capabilities, so we can see the threats that are being built.
And that's China in particular.
China in particular. Russia is also working on those capabilities.
But that's something you're preparing for, so I imagine nothing is off limits, in effect.
We're developing capabilities to defend ourselves. It's really that simple.
And so the U.S. finds itself in a new, more ominous space race.
Is the U.S. at risk of losing a war?
I think so. We'd be silly to say it's not a possibility. That's what any defense planner will tell you, is don't look for the ideal outcome. Plan for the worst day so that you can survive it.
Okay, so just wanted you all to hear that. And I think the true part of it is that you have to plan for the worst day so that you can survive it, because that is definitely on the horizon, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, whether you think that they can't, they won't do that, whatever your overall opinion is, it doesn't really matter. And your normalcy bias may be.
I have an opinion.
Normalcy bias that you would want to state the way it is. It's not that way. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, my opinion is that report by CNN just justifying, this was published in 2016. It just justified, it's justifying Donald Trump's Space Command or whatever, Space Force or whatever, all the money they finna pour into that. They and but then they was mocking him for it. So you know what I'm saying? Just how inconsistent mainstream media can be and why it's not a reliable source of information. But I agree with I agree everything about all the weaponry that exists and what they want to build, more destructive, more, you know, efficient in bringing about loss of life. That's true. So, yes, you got to prepare for everything, as the guy did say. But I just wanted to know Donald Trump's Space Force, man.
And, you know, the Space Force thing has been actually in existence, you know, talked about for a while. And actually, Obama was the first one to sign the bill into law saying that corporations could actually mine in space, mine asteroids, mine comets, mine other planets in space. And the Russians and the Chinese have always had a particular position on that. Now is a big, massive push for the moon. And there's a reason why, because the mining on the moon is critical for the resources that's there. And there's a fight that's going to be there as well. And yeah, the Space Force that's calling for, that's been called for, is for a reason, because that overall background and that overall battlefield will go hot. It will definitely go hot. And so the importance of this is beyond. And I mean, just the scope and the means of this is just beyond anything that we really talked about, because it should be the number one priority, which your in my opinion, it's the number one priority in your overall life because of this. It is a threat that's more credible and more real. It is going to be apparent relatively soon. And if you do that, it puts you in a position to where you can actually save your prosperity that you will be able to see forward for those that you have yet not named. Very, very, very important to do, because you've worked so hard for everything that you do have. And what we do have is that we have to have the proper saving mechanism. Because why do you save? You save to protect yourself. You save so that you will have something that you can use in a time of deficiency. And you save to be able to use it as leverage to acquire prosperity. And this is why we prepare for those reasons. So we're getting ready to go into a commercial break. When we come out of the commercial break, Scotty, give me just 1 minute. 2 minutes, we'll come back in the top of the hour. And then we'll get into this. I want to give you some of the things that I want you to just take notice to, think about. And then if you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
What was I ain't no joke. I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm done and make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene I set. I like to stand in a crowd and watch the people wonder, damn. But think about it, then you understand. I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit, I gotta use it. Even if it's jazz or the quiet storm, I hook a beat up, convert it into hip-hop form. Write a rhyme and graffiti in every show you see me in. Deep concentration, cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild, if you wanna be tame. I treat you like a child and you're gonna be named another enemy, not even a friend of me, cause you'll get fried in the end when you pretend to be competing. Cause I just put your mind on pause and I complete when you compare my rhyme with yours. I wake you up and as I stare in your face, you seem stunned. Remember me, the one you got your idea from, but soon you start to suffer. The tune will get rougher when you start to stutter. That's when you had enough of fighting it'll make you choke. You can't provoke, you can't cope. You should have broke, because I ain't no joke.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, man, I missed hearing that one. That say it loud, man. Just from our commercial breaks, it's just some of the old ones. They just mean so much to me, and I'm just glad to hear them. In between the break and everything else, it's a part of my daggone day. I know where I am when I hear that. You know what I mean? Sometimes you hear, you know where you are, and this is synonymous, and it's so important. That's why we need to support this network so that this can be here going forward. So please go to the website and make a donation at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. All right, we just played something that I thought was very, very significant for you all. We'll play the other parts of it later on, but I wanted to just to touch on this very, very important issue and the reason why we prepare. Now, when this overall war expands, it's already started, it's already past the point of no return. There is no truce, there is no compromise. It's only going to actually expand even further and explode in a more apparent way, and where it will affect the everyday person. Now, the cyberspace position, here's what's significant. The society that relies on smartphones that make people dumb is going to suffer the most in this overall world. Because that is going to be the vulnerability that is going to be attacked in the overall structural supply and demand in the supply chain that is going to be broken. The smart technology or smartphone technology or that technology is going to be, it's so prevalent here that is going to be the overall Achilles heel for every single person that's here. And you always hear me say smartphones for dumb people. And I'm not criticizing people, but I'm criticizing the overall everyday reliance and such a reliance on those devices that now you have become made nullified in so many things that you otherwise would have been able to do. We ask a phone to tell us everything. That means that what? We are exposed to that. And, when you heard the overall, they talked about the weaponry, and they said the smart weapons become dumb. And everyone that is so reliant on a smartphone now won't have that phone, so now they become dumb. And dumb means you can't see nor hear. Okay? And so that is going to have a big problem. Here's what the problem lies is that, because of the just-in-time delivery, that's all based off the algorithms that are intertwined in the internet. And it's intertwined into that overall space. So the just-in-time delivery system is not going to work. Means there's no food that's going to be delivered. But not only that, you remember when we have this overall war, everything is going to go out. So everything that we've been so reliant on technology is going to go what? On the blink and go down. Here's the problem with it. It's not just going to go on the blink. The infrastructure is going to be fried. Meaning that you won't be able to use the infrastructure now that you do have, because it's going to have been compromised, it's going to be broken. And there's not going to be a place that you can go to get a new iPhone and get another place for the just-in-time delivery system for that overall computer to be able to talk to each other. The whole network is going to be vulnerable and it's going to be fried. Now, what does that mean? All of that stuff has to be replaced. Guess where all of that stuff comes from, Keith?
Not here.
China. And you think China's going to say, oh, okay, cool, we'll send all of the stuff parts you need. We just fried them, so we're going to send you all of the parts. No. That means that when this happens, and the key, I wanted to play this so that you'll recognize the signs when things start going wrong, you need to know where you are. You need to be able to see, and you need to be able to hear. You need to be able to use your senses so you won't be dumb. You're going to have an appropriate response. Everything is going to be down. You know how many car accidents is going to happen from that, Keith? When the traffic lights don't work?
Car accidents?
Yeah.
Think about planes.
I didn't. Exactly, Keith. The trains. the trains won't be able to stop. They'll get a go when it's a stop and everything, and then they'll, you know what they'll do? Finally, they'll all just stop. And guess what that means? Where those trains start, you better know what's on those trains. There's going to be cargo on there. But where is that cargo going to go? But now, what is that also going to do? That's going to create a black market like you've never seen before in this country. The planes. They gave the things that the planes, you know, their GPS and everything is going to go down. No, the plane's going to crash. See? They didn't tell the truth. The planes are going to crash. Here's why those planes are going to crash, Keith. Because what are the planes now all pretty much? Fly-by-wire. And all of that technology is going to be, is not protected, and it's going to be compromised. So you're going to start having planes dropping out the sky.
Well, here's the thing. It's not going to be so much that you're going to have planes dropping out the sky. What the problem's going to be is this, and you're right, you go by what's called IFR and VFR, mm-hmm. which are visual flight rules, mm-hmm. and the other ones are electronic, which mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. you know, all those sort of things. Some of the things that we have to start looking at is, yeah, all that is done is tracked by, but now you're going to have all the, you're going to have all the VFR, the people that are out there flying by visually looking.
Right.
Which is a minority now.
Right.
But let's even take them.
But when the electrical circuits on the plane goes out, how are you going to have hydraulics?
Depends on the type of aircraft. Right. On your big air, well, no. Yeah. 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 For your big planes, yeah. And then even if you're small planes, there's not going to be any runways clear.
You're not going to make a clear runway.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be flat out ugly. Flat out ugly. So I find it so interesting, and some of the things that we're talking about, Dave, is we talked about when this stuff hit. We have what you call a bug-in period, right? That means you got to get to your place of solace, your place of protection, your fortress, whatever that might be, and you need to be prepared to be able to self-sustain in there without coming out for at least a month, right?
Yeah.
If you can do that, your chances of survivability skyrockets tremendously. Now, if you can survive the first 30, 60 days, it might be ugly when you get out. But your chances of surviving at that point are pretty good.
Yeah, I definitely would. It's going to be much better than being here in this chaos. And I think it's very, very important that you know what's going on so that you can have the appropriate response and not follow the herd.
Absolutely not. You've got to get to where your place, like I said, already prepared. Get there on a beehive, on a beeline. But once you get there, you've got to have 60 days of rations.
Yes. And Keith, let me just say this. How many people are so dependent upon, I'm talking about people like our young people, how many people are so dependent upon GPS, Google to get somewhere? So they don't even know basic directions now, you know, because that's not being what's utilized. It says turn here, turn there, turn the other. So if you have family members that live on the other side of town, guess what? If they haven't been there for a long time, guess what? The likelihood of them being able to get back to you or wherever your rendezvous or wherever your meeting place is, they're going to say, well, where is that? They're not thinking about how do you get there from just directions. Use this street, turn that street, here, here, here. It's so profound now.
And that's not even the worst of it, because you've got to be able to get there not by your traditional roadways.
Because they're going to be
completely blocked.
Completely blocked.
And
impassable. Even if you do have a car that has that's EMP proof, don't matter, you still won't have a road to drive on.
And let's make it worse than that. Because I can't talk.
We're not making it worse. I mean, the situation will
absolutely
be.
But I got to talk, like, I can't talk about these people like I'm not involved in them.
Yeah,
right?
You go
because
far.
I rely on the GPS like a mug. But I can tell you this, even me, I still have the capabilities of going into a gas station and picking up a map. Most of your people today don't even know how to read a map.
Yeah, that's very true. Or coordinate a map. Or
Keith, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, it's nothing wrong with using the technology. It's that the technology don't work when there's no electricity, there's no internet, there's no satellite connection to get the directions. But I would say, I this is just an opinion because I don't know of any studies that or polls of how many people know how to read a map, something we learned in the military. You know what I'm saying? So most people, yeah. I mean, you pull out a map, they don't know what the legend is. They don't know how to determine distance using the legend. They don't know what a mountainous area or looks like, and because they don't know how to read a map. So that's the problem.
Topography. They can't look at a map. Yeah. And these things that you definitely, and it's really where you are. You know, it's really, really, really where you are, because they don't even have maps for people really to use as much anymore. You know, you remember Thomas Guy.
That's true.
You could find a Thomas Guy at every single gas station.
Sure.
You know, some of the old truckers and everything else, they know Thomas Guy. They know places. Thomas Guy needed to be updated, this and that, but you had those resources, and those were huge books that you could actually utilize and to use just to get to where you're going. Now, here's a major problem too, is that you're going to have to contend with, you don't have to contend with the government, Keith. You're going to have to contend with all the unprepared people around you. It won't even be your neighbor, because the likelihood that this happens is we don't know when it's going to happen. But your neighbor, yes, Keith. But just think about if it happens in your major city where you are during the middle of the day. Guess what happens now? How many people are prepared for their car not to be able to get them where they are, or any mass transit to get them where they are, where the only thing that you have is what the great creator through the ecosystem gave you, 2 feet? How many will have the proper shoes? How many will have the gear? How many will have the overall awareness to say, uh-oh, this is bigger than what everybody else is saying, where they will fight the temptation to do this, go watch the TV and see what's going on.
Yeah.
When you should be able to recognize and read the signs that, uh-oh, it just happened. And let me respond to it right away, because that golden hour is going to be critical. Instead of watching the entertainment box entertain you, you should be responding immediately. And you have to know what those signs are. Because the longer you delay, the worse the overall situation is going to be for you to respond in.
So you have increments of time. But what I mean by increments of time is because you need to recognize before anybody else. The first increment is just to get to where you need to be immediately.
The first thing is to get out of where you are.
Okay, kind of the same thing.
Yes.
From where you are, get to where you need to go. Your next increment of time is going to be 1 day. And what I mean by 1 day is that's the time that's going to take to empty out all the store shelves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to have panic, right? But after 2 or 3 days, you're going to have to look at it from this point of view. Every human being you encounter could easily be a life and death situation.
It's a threat. Yes. Right. Right, Keith. Very, very true. So the overall chronological order of things is going to be very, very, very critical. And this is why we do the 96-hour margin call. But we need to set the guidelines on how these things and the signs that we need to see is working. You'll know right away if your cell phone and your computer and someone else's cell phone and someone else's computer around you is not working. You have systems that are not on the same system and they're not working. You know that you just probably have that major problem of what's coming. This is why we give you what's going on in the world. This is why we try to keep you up to date on what's going on current events wise, so that you'll know, uh-oh,
And while everybody else is saying, well, let me go see and fix this, you'd be saying, okay, and then you'll be gone. And I'm thinking at people at work, and then you would know right away, let me get outside. Then you go outside, and all of a sudden, the lights aren't working. The traffic. It'd be real easy at night to tell that this that things are going wrong. You know why? Boom, your power is gone. Your power and your cell phone is gone. The internet of the cell phone is gone. And the other things you need to know, it just happened. Now it comes to where your family has to recognize these signs to get to the measure, to the haven of safety as quickly as possible without delay. It's going to be one of these things, Keith, where you're going to have to pass up some things to get to home. Okay? You're going to have to pass up some temptations because you won't have time. Now, the first hours, most people won't know what's going on. In that first hour, you may have an opportunity to harvest, to get some things, right? Strategically. But you have to have a clock in your head going off. You're going to have to be aware of the time that it happened and everything else. Try to stick to it as much as you can so that you'll be situational aware of how things are going to start to deteriorate. Because one thing you won't have is you won't have the overall ability to know what's going on around you the way as easily as you have now. And if you don't have that, if you notice radios ain't working, you already know that you've already been hit with a major cyber attack in the war space. You're in the midst of World War III now. And sooner you're able to recognize that, that will dictate your next outcome. And then you have to have a plan. Most important thing is to get you and your family and your friends to the overall position that you've all decided to be in at any given time. And then you can coordinate responsive efforts from there. That's the first and most important thing. And at night, it makes it, there's different dynamics. But then think about this, Keith. We're in the middle of winter here in the U.S. What if there's a major storm and then all of a sudden that's when the attack happens? Now you got to deal with the elements as well. And the elements are going to slow you because I'm going to tell you, when we drive in the rain in our cars, Keith, we're in a sterile environment. You're not getting wet. Once you get wet, there's a different truth that happens. Now you're going to be working under the spirit of the law. So let's say you're at work in this inclement weather. You're in a torrential rainstorm, snow, or whatever. And you're at work, and this thing happens. Now it's time for you to get home, 20 miles away. And your car won't, you can't use your car. You got to walk. Do you have the gear to be able to walk? Because I'm going to tell you, once you get wet, and if you're in the wintertime and you get wet, hypothermia is going to set in, and this is why that overall grid down situation is going to cause so many people that it's going to be within 2 months you're going to lose 90% of the people. It depends on the time of the year.
Well, you got
but wait, Keith, so just imagine you have a raincoat at work, but do you have shoes that are appropriate? Do you have the appropriate pants that go along with it as well? Because keeping yourself out of the elements is so important, because I'm going to tell you, the animals that have fur, dogs and all, they can deal with it a whole lot better than human beings. You have to have an artificial measure to be able to withstand the elements here. And I'm going to tell you, walking with wet clothes, woo! Your clothes now start to weigh a ton. And it's these are the things that are really truthful that, you know, that are going to be a measure of contention that you better be prepared for and have an approach to, because it'll make it easier for you to do what? Mitigate those threats. It's wintertime. You're going to have the appropriate clothing wherever you are. Or you got to make a decision. Do I try to wait until this overall storm stops before I make a move? And if you do that, know what's going to come with that. People are going to be desperate. And you're going to be held in that desperation zone, that kill zone, for a long time. But sometimes it's worth bunkering down in the kill zone wherever you are. So this is much more than just some, you know, this battlefield is the perfect battlefield because it strikes at the greatest Achilles heel for a country such as the U.S. You use this overall arrogance against itself. And what I mean by that, the arrogance against itself, see, the U.S. has become inebriated in the wine of splendor. Now you use that intoxication against them. They've been drunken, so they're not stable thinkers about what the threats are. And so by that, they've actually are not able to mitigate just the smallest thing. It's a force multiplier. Keith wanted to chime in.
I'm going to make a blanket statement, okay? And I always say you can't make blanket statements because no matter what you're talking about, there's always an exception to that. So I'm going to put that out there too. But with that being said, looking from the advantage of the United States as Americans, I do not see a single advantage that we hold. I don't see one.
Yeah, I think the advantage that we hold is that you have the ability to prepare for it in a much better position than in other countries, possibly, right now. But that advantage is going to be quickly lost.
Well, from the,
because of access.
Yeah, you're going to have a very few. Like I said, you always have the exceptions. You always have your your preppers. You know, you always have your survivalists. But we know those are the absolute minority of minorities, right? Mm-hmm. But as far as this country goes, I don't see a single advantage.
Yeah. It would. I would say it has the advantage that the U.S. military has, which is a very, very significant advantage, is that it has the multiplicity of individuals from different backgrounds, and they're not all from the same geological tree. So that is, you know, you think about some of your friends and your family, that they're from all different geological, some are from this part of the country, they're from here, so some are tall. So that means that the overall DNA profile of those individuals, some are going to be able to withstand this, or some are going to be able to withstand that better. Instead of like a country like Russia, they're going to prominently have pretty much all of the same profiles in some form and fashion. Here is diverse. You got people from all over the world that are here, and because of that, that is going to be a very, 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 very important thing to the overall survivability.
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it should be and could be.
Yeah.
But of course, as we also know, that we are in the midst of separating and bringing contention to all of those. So even the advantage that you come up with that we might have, and I agree with you, we're in the midst of an active program to disengage that.
Yeah, I can see that as well. So, you know, Keith, when this does happen, hopefully it'll happen on the weekend, and everyone is going to be finding this at this, you know, some people are going to find this at the most opportune time. It may be even me. I may be traveling. You know, I may, you know, you may just, the worst, you know, there could be some worst case scenarios, but even in those worst case scenarios, you still have choices now in recognition of things that are happening. You still need to know, because whatever position you find yourself in, you're going to have to deal with the circumstances that are going to be presented with you. So, you know, it really does mean that you should have a measure of, okay, this stuff is coming, what do I need to do? And so the first hours of it is going to be critical for you to recognize. First is recognizing situational awareness, reading the signs. Where am I? What does this mean? What are going to, and what do I need to do? How do I need to respond to this? What are my choices, options? What are my shortfallings? I think one very important is you have to really know what where your weakness is. Where are my weaknesses? You know, some people always go, okay, where are my strengths? No, first thing I want to look at is, where are my weaknesses? Where am I vulnerable at? So then now I can mitigate those problems, try to get that out of the way first. And then look at your strengths. And then look at your strengths from there and developing. Because the first couple of hours of this is going to be critical from where you are. First, recognition. You've got to recognize what's happening. Most important thing, you have to be able to recognize what is this just something at your job, or is this something that is outside? Is this regional, or are you in active World War III? Because it is going to be an active World War III, and this is going to be the preferred method of using. Because think about this: this nullifies the U.S. military.
It nullifies everything.
Nullifies the U.S. military. Nullifies the U.S. military. They will be very much. They'll get a punch off, but that punch will be ineffective in the other. But the counterpunch, or the worst thing is that it's a preemptive one. Then the U.S. won't even be able to provide a counterpunch.
Yeah.
It's game over, and it's really a measure of a bargaining chip now. The China and Russia is telling the U.S. you've already lost. If you keep fighting, we're just going to keep. You know, we're going to, so you just need to go on and surrender. It'd be a whole lot easier. They're not going to do it. They're not going to, and I'm going to tell you this, they're not going to lose the advantage that they have. China and Russia is not going to lose the advantage that they have.
Which was
because it took too much for them to get it.
Yeah, we can't get it anyway. I was thinking about that when Scotty was talking about the space force.
Yeah.
You know, even if we enacted everything today,
they're not going to give them that time.
No. No.
You can say you have, but you don't. It's nothing more. Russia and China is not going to allow the U.S. time.
And even if they did,
they will preemptively do it.
Sure. Sure.
Why wouldn't you? You have the upper hand. They're not going to let the U.S. get ready.
And, you know, even if they did, Dave, they still couldn't do that. It goes back to the conversation we were having about Apple. And we were talking about the fact that they're not in China because of cheap wages.
Yes.
They're in China because of their technology. And look, we got, in the United States, we got all these jobs that are unfulfilled because the people are incapable of fulfilling them. So even if they gave you the time to do everything that needed to be done, we don't have the people to even start the process.
There's so many variables. This is how the nullification of an empire. Every empire dies on this economic system because that's how it stays alive. The system mimics and imitates the ecosystem. It lives off of death. It lives off of death, and that's what they do in this empirism. So, hey, man, we got to get ready to get out of here. Much love, much respect to everyone. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Great Creator Willem will be back tomorrow. We'll have further. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the